Good morning. It's good to see you all here today. Glad you're at Rock Valley. And we're going to do something a little different today. I want to say hello first, though, to those of you that are streaming online today. And glad that you're able to join us as well. But we're going to do something a little different with our sermon time today. And that is we're going to turn this into a bit of a workshop. It's going to be a prayer workshop. How many of you have ever been to a prayer workshop before? Okay, it's just three of us, four. Okay, beautiful. So first timers, yes, I ambushed you. You didn't know this was coming, but this is what we're going to do today. But what we're going to go through is the Lord's Prayer and some other points, and we're going to take the time to pray. In Luke chapter 11, the disciples came to Jesus, and they said, teach us to pray like John's disciples were taught to pray by him. And so what we're going to do today is just take a walk through what prayer is. And so this is going to be an opportunity for us to spend this time praying, but also thinking about what prayer is, learning to pray as we continuously pray through this time of the sermon. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to pray in sections. That is, I'm going to put things up on the screen. I'll talk about them a little bit. But then most of the time, what I would like you to do is just focus on praying. And during each section, I might talk a little bit about that particular section and the subject and what we're praying for. So like if we say, thy kingdom come, or we talk about thy will be done, or give us this day our daily bread, I'm going to talk a little bit about what that is, but I just want you to keep praying. So kind of listen to me, but just stay in prayer, and just we'll go through this together, and hopefully it'll be a very edifying time that we spend here praying. Now, the other thing is that you can pretty much stay right in your seat if you'd like to. If you want to kneel, you can kneel at your seat. But if you want more room and you would like to, I'm going to open up this room. If you would like to come up here to the front or go to the back where there's space to pray on your knees or to be able to stand, I'm inviting you to do that. What I would ask, though, is that you keep the aisleways clear for anybody that might need to leave this room and go out to the restroom or anything like that. Okay? And so I'll start to lead you through this. And then I want you, one other thing, as we go through each section today, I want you to really focus on that section and allow yourself to just kind of immerse in what we're talking about in each section and do it with both a focus on what we're praying about and also just opening up your heart. Because one of the things that's really key in order to come before the Lord is really to open up your heart. He's looking for a poor and contrite spirit. And that doesn't mean a self-deprecating spirit. What that means is acknowledging we need you, God. We need you, God. And that's what prayer is. It's an acknowledgement of faith. It's a statement of faith to say, I believe there is a God. And it is opening up to say, I know I need you, God. And you want to have this relationship and conversation with him. All right. Any questions before we get started? Beautiful. All right. Thought that was going to be a question, Carolyn. Just a scratch on the nose. All right. Good. All right. So the first section is our Father in heaven. So this is where our prayer begins. As I was just saying, it's a statement of faith. It's an acknowledgement that there is a God in heaven who is our Father. And what I want us to do in this section is put all of our attention onto him. But also, I want us to recognize that we pray in Jesus' name. And that is how we're able to come before our Father in heaven. So what I want you to do now is just, again, if you want to move around in this room, you may. You can kneel at your seat. You can stand. But I would like you to just enter into prayer now with our Father in heaven. And as you enter in, I want you to simply acknowledge him. Acknowledge he's your Father. Acknowledge that you know he exists. I want you to come to him in the name by which you can come. And I want you just to pray and to say, Father, I'm here because Jesus made the way for me to be here. I am here because of the blood of the Lamb. I'm here because of righteousness imputed to me. I am here as one made holy and accepted in Jesus. I'm here because you made me. you to just think about and bless our Father in heaven. Fully acknowledge you're standing before him because of Jesus. Fully claim the authority that you have to call him Father because of Jesus, and to come before him because of Jesus, and that you have boldness to enter into this most holy place before him because of Jesus. Open up your heart to him and just allow yourself to be of a true heart before God. And know as you begin to pray to him right now in this time, that you're just opening yourself up to be truthful before him. All right, now as we move to the next section, just keep praying, but this one is holy is your name. And what I want you to do is you just continue in prayer right now. I want you to be thinking about what is it that makes the Father so holy and special to you? What is it that makes him distinct and separate from anyone else? And as you think about these attributes, I want you to think about them in terms of giving him praise and thanks. So like, for instance, when it says, holy is your name, remember in Exodus, as you keep praying now, I want you to keep praying, just think about, he said his name was Yahweh God, right? Merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth. And I want you to think about these attributes of God. And I want you to focus on, what is it that makes him so lovely in our sight? That makes his name so holy and separate and above any other name? I just want you to think about these things, and I want you to give him thanks for who he is, and I want you to give him praise for who he is. As you continue to give praise and thanks to him, continue to do that. One of the things that we can learn when we're praying is to keep our hearts and minds open to him, but also use the scriptures as a way to help us praise. So as you continue just with a heart of prayer before him, I want to read to you a bit from Psalm 145. This is a prayer that David prayed. He said, I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is Yahweh, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. That's what we do right now as we're praying. Hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name, God. Your works are so much better. Your name is so much higher. Your ways are higher. Your thoughts are higher. Yahweh is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, great in mercy. Yahweh is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Yahweh, and your saints shall bless you. And that's what we do right now. We're just blessing him, praising him. Just acknowledge him in every way. Just think of the things that God has done for you and the way he has shown his mercy or his goodness. Think of the vastness of his love for you. Yahweh upholds all who fall and raises those who are bowed down. In what way has he helped you? Yahweh is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. He is near to those who call on him. All right, as we go from praying about his name, I want you to now ask for his kingdom to come. And I want you to think about this. So many ways we can talk about this, his kingdom coming to this earth. But I want you to think about in the way he told his disciples to go say, the kingdom of God is at hand, to preach the kingdom of God is at hand, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, right, to do things and ask for God's kingdom to come. So specifically, I want you to ask for his empowering presence in your life. Just as he gave it to the disciples to go and do the works, let's ask that his kingdom would be here in power and ask for the authority and power to further the kingdom.
As we pray your kingdom come, just think about how God's kingdom in your life can make such an impact on other people. Because where the presence of God is, where Jesus is reigning as king, there is a wellspring of life that flows from Christ through you as an ambassador for Christ, pleading for people to be reconciled to him and receiving of the blessings of his kingdom. Matthew 12:28, he says, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Just think about embracing his total rulership and reign in your life. For healing, for the power that comes from his rulership and reign. Just ask for that. Now, as you do that, I want you to now start praying, your will be done. As you ask for that power of his kingdom, I want you to present any plans or dreams that you have to God right now. I want you to think about the things that are on your heart or what you would like to see happen. But at the same time as you present those plans to the Lord, I want you to ask him what his dreams and his plans are for you. Do you remember Jesus? In the night in which he was betrayed, he said, Father, with you all things are possible. Therefore, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. And I want you to make the claims that you know that he is God. And I want you to tell him that you trust in his will. That you know his ways are higher than your ways. That you know what he sees is better. That his timing is perfect, that his plan is perfect. But I also want you to feel free to express your plans, to lay your plans before the Lord. So just take a few moments now and do that. As you pray this prayer, what I'd like you to do is just keep thinking about God's will, but I want you to ask that his will and his desire would be done in you today. So here we are at this worship service. Just ask that what happens is through this service, but also what happens after, that whatever leading or appointment he might have for you at this place today with other people, wherever he wants you to be or go or do today, that he would just reveal that. Prayer is not just a one-way conversation with the Lord. It is opening up our hearts, expressing our love and our faith, our thanksgiving to God, to receive from him as well the inspiration and the direction and the leading of the Holy Spirit of where we need to go. So as you continue on in that, I want you now to transition to give us our daily bread. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. It's a quote from the law. What I want you to do is just ask him for what you need today. What do you need mentally? What do you need physically, emotionally, spiritually, financially? What is it that you need? This is the time where you lay your request of what you need before the Lord for today. So like on a day where you're taking a test, you might ask for help with the things that you've learned, for recollection. You're going to work and you have a big meeting. You might be asking for favor. You need food to eat. You're asking for provisions, for work. You're asking for insights of how to be a better father or a better husband or a better wife. You're asking for help for the things that you need, and you're asking for God to give you the daily bread. So what is it you need help with today? Our Father gave himself names so that we could be assured of him. So he calls himself Yahweh Yireh, which is our provider. Yahweh Rapha, our healer. Yahweh Shalom, our peace. Yahweh Nisi, our banner. Yahweh Makadesh, the one who sanctifies. Yahweh Sidkenu, he's our righteousness. Do you need righteousness today? Call on his name, his holy name, and ask him to fulfill these needs. Yahweh Shema, he is there. Yahweh Ra'ah, our shepherd. So now as you ask him these needs, I want you to kind of transition a little bit of your thought to not just what you need, but I want you to now cast your cares upon him. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 to 7, tell us that we should be casting our cares upon him because he cares for us. So as you pray, confirm that you know to the Father in heaven that he does care about you. Confirm that you know that you can bring anything to him, that he tells you to cast your cares. So he's not saying, hide your cares from me. Don't act like you have concerns or cares. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But what that means is that we have to give up what it is that's burdening us and pulling us down. So what I want you to do is just tell him what's on your mind, what's burdening you today. As you express these things, I want you to leave them go into his care. You're conversing with the creator of the universe. You're telling him what's burdening you, and he's telling you to do it because he cares for you. He wants to take these things into his care. And it's not that he doesn't know these things in you. It's that he wants you to open up your life to share these things with him, that you would unburden yourself and allow him to be God and you to be his child. Allow him to show himself strong on your behalf. You're expressing faith and loyalty to him now. You're expressing that you can trust him with the things that are burdening you. Let him take them. As you do this, I want you to fully confess to God everything you're afraid of. I want you to confess the things that scare you. Are you worried about the conversion of a loved one? Are you worried about what might happen to one of your children or somebody that you care about and love? Are you worried about what might happen at work? Are you worried about losing your job? What are the things that are going through your heart right now that you can say, yes, I'm afraid of that. I'm really afraid of that. And allow yourself to be honest with your own heart before God right now. And as he reveals to you the things that you're afraid of in your heart, I want you just to express those things. Just express it to him. As you express these fears, I want you to then express that his perfect love casts out fear. And I want you to receive of his love and know that his love casts out fear so that the torment will be removed and that you can just think about what it is that he desires for you. And what you desire. I want you to think about how you desire his love in you, that the very love that he has for you, that you would be able to show that to others, both to him and to the people around you, so that fear would be put out. Just receive of his love for you. Receive of how much God loves you in this moment. Let the love of the Father rest on your heart. Let him calm your fears. Take confidence in him. He loves you. He cares for you. A sparrow doesn't fall to the ground, but our Father in heaven sees. how much more is your life of value to him than a sparrow? He knows every hair on your head. You don't even know that about you. He is involved in every intimate way in your life. He is engaged with you and for you. Thank him for who he is to you. All right, so now we're going to move on to the next section, which is to be able to forgive as we, to be forgiven as we forgive. Father, forgive us our sins as we forgive others. Now, in prayer, this is one of the most important things to work out and understand. It's the only part of the Lord's Prayer that's conditioned. There's a judgment in this. Forgive us as we forgive. So what I would like us to do is acknowledge any sins that you have done for which you have not yet received forgiveness. But I want you to acknowledge and speak out any debts that anyone else owes against you. And I want you to acknowledge those debts, because the way to forgive a debt is to acknowledge it first so that you know what you have to be forgiving or forgiven of. So maybe your spouse wasn't very nice to you this morning. And maybe you're like, they owed me to be respectful and kind. Maybe you have a friend who has said something wrong to you or offensive, or maybe somebody hurt you this week. And you're holding it in and you're like, why did they treat me that way? Say it. Acknowledge what you're holding as a debt over that person. And then once you acknowledge that, forgive it. You owed me to be kind. You weren't. I acknowledge the debt. You don't owe me that anymore. You hurt me in this way. You did that, but you don't owe it to me anymore. You owed me to be a good father. You weren't, but you don't owe me that anymore. Whatever it is, state it, acknowledge the debt, see it, hold it before you and the Lord, and then release it before him. The goal in praying this prayer is to come to a place where you hold nothing against anyone. It's to make yourself and your heart at peace. Maybe some days when you wake up, you start thinking about what thing people have done to you a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. If you still think about those things today, then why not take this time right now to acknowledge what is it that they owe you? What is it that they did that hurt you? And let it go. Release it. Release the debt and be free. Maybe as you're praying here, you find that you are able to release others, but maybe not yourself. If there's anything in your heart that you still feel like it was so wrong in your estimation and judgment that you haven't been able to forgive yourself for doing it or receive forgiveness from God, acknowledge what you did was wrong and let it go. Release your own debt. And have faith that God will forgive as you have forgiven. And yet God says that if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. He knows all things and he can forgive all things. Put your faith and confidence in him. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ is bigger than any sin that you have committed, and it is able to completely and utterly wash you and cleanse you. So confess and hold him. His promise is that if we will confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want you to receive that righteousness right now. The righteousness of Christ imputed to you. Blessed is the man to whom God imputes no sin. So as you have forgiven, he will forgive. It's his promise. So now again, if there's anything that you still have against anyone, this is a moment where you can let it go. Acknowledge it and let it go. So often it's not the sin that's current, it's the sin that's past that we still hold on to that keeps us in bondage and torment and fear because we won't let it go. The sin still has dominion in our lives. And that's the sin I'm asking you to let go of here right now. Let God help you out of it. Ask God to help you forgive it. You're holding anything against your parents, siblings, things from your past, friends, an ex-spouse, business relationships. Let it just come to the surface now. Just let your heart be open to God. Confess, I'm still holding that, God. I still have this debt against that person. I'm still in torment over this. And Father, please help any person who's struggling with that right now to just release, to acknowledge the debt and to forgive it and say, you don't owe me that anymore. Say it in your heart, you don't owe me that anymore. Forgive them. Let it go. So much pain in our lives happens right here. As you acknowledge sins that have been done against you and you forgive, if you ask for forgiveness for your own sins, I want you just to receive the cleansing of the Lord for what you've been praying about. I want you to receive just that beautiful washing and allow the refreshment of the Holy Spirit to just come into you and just to enliven you. Receive the cleansing by the blood of Jesus and the renewing by the Spirit of God. Just like David said, take not your spirit from me. In Psalm 51, and again he says, restore to me the joy of your salvation. I would ask you to ask that of God right now. Restore to me the joy of salvation. The joy of the Lord is our strength. As you embrace that joy, you embrace the salvation, the cleansing of sin, releasing people. And you might need to go back to this later. This is not a one and done thing. Sometimes these things come up and you need to be ready to address them in prayer. But as we've been praying about those who have hurt us and those we need to forgive, I want us now to intercede on behalf of others. So we're going to slide into this next section, but it goes right along with that. I want you to pray for those who are in need. Who do you know that has need right now? Who do you know who needs that salvation that gives you joy? Maybe somebody that you just released. Maybe you acknowledge their sin and the way maybe they hurt you, abused you, punished you, mistreated you. You've let them go from that, but it's not just releasing them from what they owe you. Now I want you to pray for them. Do you have an enemy? I want you to pray for your enemy. You have somebody who's against you. You have those that rub you wrong, who maybe you just don't like. Those who have hurt you or speak ill of you. I want you just to lift them up before the Lord and ask for God to bless them. Ask for God to pour out his mercies on them. Ask for God to open up their hearts to him. I want you to pray with a need for them as if you were the person who needed God like you see that this person does. I want you to identify with their need. I want you to have empathy for their need. And open up to God and just say, God, they need you so much. I want you to feel that need, and I want that need to be in you. Pray for them with all the desperation that you would have if you were the one in that position. Beseech God to heal the sick, to heal the brokenhearted. Beseech him to deliver the captive, to soften the hard-hearted, to rebuke the mocker and the scoffer, and bring them revelation. Ask for the help that that person needs to see that there is a God who loves them. John 5:16 says, if you see someone sinning a sin, not leading to death, pray and ask God for life for that one that you see sinning, and God will give it. Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Stephen, when he was being stoned, said, Father, do not hold this against them. Give thanks for the people that are in your life. Intercession is going on behalf of others and their needs, but also think about it from the perspective that you can give thanks for the people that God has given to you in your life. Thank Him for your friends. Thank Him for your church family, for your natural family. Thank Him for people that have been a blessing in your life, that are part of your testimony today. Ask God to just help you love your neighbor, no matter if they're a friend or a family member or an enemy. Just ask Him for love for each person, that you would have the love to give thanks for them and intercede for them. Thank God even for your enemies and those who have hurt you and persecuted you. Thank you for the opportunity to go through that. To be identified with the sufferings of Christ. Thank God for that person. Ask Him to do amazing things for them. Now what we're going to do is transition to the next thing. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Talk about deliverance. It says we should submit to God. In James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So what I want us to do at this point is I want us to think about God not leading us into temptation, but delivering us from the evil one. As we pray, I want you to renounce any lusts or any lies that come to mind. So ultimately, where temptation derives from is the implantation or the offering of lies in place of truth. To lust for a woman as opposed to love her as a sister. The lust is the lie. To think of a person as an object of ego or personal desire as opposed to a sister in Christ. A lie would be thinking that somebody besides God is going to meet your deepest need. That pinning your hopes on a relationship with a human being as if they will ever be able to fulfill the need that God can. A lie could be, I'm unworthy. A lie could be, I can't be forgiven. A lie could be, God has rejected me. A lie could be, God doesn't love me anymore. He's cast me out. A lie could be anything that is not according to the Word of God in truth. See, the Word of God is a sword to fight. We are armed with the armor of God and we take stand and heed because we know our salvation is in Him. Our righteousness is in Him. Truth is in Him. The way, the good news, the hope, all in Him. And we battle temptation just as Jesus did with the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, to say that's not true. So when you have a temptation to feel like God has rejected me, then remember what God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. When you say, I'm unworthy and unclean, only if you embrace that lie, because He says that if you will confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you that sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Remember that He promised that those who come to Him are holy and accepted. Remember that He chose you. You were made on purpose. So if you find yourself believing lies that you are worthless, you have to exchange those for truth. Let your heart be cleansed by the truth. Be empowered by the Spirit of God and the Word of God to not be engaging in temptation. Now, for some of you, maybe you're not necessarily manifesting any form of sin in your life physically, but in your heart, you have come to grips and come face to face with the law of sin that dwells in our members. Friends, these are going to be there as long as we're in this carnal body and have this carnal mind. We exchange this in the day of resurrection. We go from corruptible to incorruptible. That is, it can't be corrupted. And from mortal to immortality. So if you in any way sense any spirit of unholiness, spirit of wickedness, spirit of lust, any thoughts coming into your mind, what I want you to do is don't run from those thoughts. I want you to capture them and say, here's this thought, Lord. And I renounce it in Jesus' name. And I renounce all spirits that are not of your spirit. I want nothing to do with any of them. I receive only the one spirit, the Holy Spirit that flows from you, God. It is your spirit of love and of power and a sound mind that I want. It is your spirit that produces love, joy, peace, long-suffering. God, remove from me the spirit of impatience, of pride, of arrogance, and give me only one spirit. I renounce all spirits of wickedness, of pride, of lust, of selfishness, of selfish ambition, of seeking for myself, of not thinking of others, of not esteeming the interests of others better than myself. I renounce all such thoughts and all such spirits, and I ask you, God, to fill me with one spirit, the Holy Spirit. One spirit. One heart, one mind. Be all in me, God. Be all in all of me. Let me be for you alone, God. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from the wicked one. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 18, there's a beautiful promise that God gives. In 1 John 5, it says, we know whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. But we know, as it says again, he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. Allow yourself to receive of God. I want you just to receive of his empowering presence and the power to overcome sin. Just ask that you invite that in, and any other thought, I would ask you to renounce it strongly and say, I don't want it. This is how we keep ourselves, to receive of God and reject all other thoughts. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. He will give you power over the enemy. Though we live in a world swayed by darkness, God prepares a table in the presence of our enemies that we need not be afraid nor be overcome. So put on the whole armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth. Have your feet shod with the gospel, the preparation. Take up the shield of faith by which you can quench those darts when the devil tries to tell you lies and get you to doubt. and take up the sword of the Spirit, that not only you quench the darts, but you go right back. You keep yourself empowered by God's word, which is mighty, a powerful two-edged sword. And then let's transition into this last section, which is putting our focus on Jesus coming and his kingdom and what we've been asked to do between now and the time of his return. So ask the Father to send Jesus again, but ask him for opportunities to keep doing the business of the Lord until he comes. Think about his kingdom coming and lasting forever and ever. See yourself in this kingdom and now on this earth as an ambassador, one who is looking for the return of Jesus, knowing that there's work to be done till his return, but knowing that the kingdom that you have been called into, that you've been conveyed into by Jesus Christ, is an everlasting kingdom, and that you have been given the authority and the right by being baptized into the name of Jesus and receiving of his sacrifice and receiving of his resurrection and receiving of the Holy Spirit promised, that you have the authority now to live as a member of his kingdom. You know your citizenship is in heaven, and you're setting your mind on where all this is going before the Lord. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. I want you to praise him for his kingdom come. I want you to praise him for what it will mean. No more crying, no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more oppression. Everyone will sit under their fig tree, everyone, and no one will make them afraid. None shall be afraid anymore. And they will learn the way of the Lord, and they will say, come, let us go to the mountain, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of his mouth will come the law, the truth from Zion. And they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Neither will they learn war any more. I want you to see yourself in this kingdom before the Father and just praise him for his kingdom come, for his will be done. Praise him for the things that he has blessed you with. Praise him for the gifts of his grace, his riches. Ask for those opportunities to use them. Forgive and be forgiven. Pray for others. Intercede for them. Ask for the deliverance and the armament that comes from God. And know that his reign will be for everlasting. His will be for everlasting. And in that day, all will be coming to him saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come again, you have taken your power and have reigned, and we love it. You are the God of mercy, the God of love, the God of glory, and we will sing forever and ever, and we will never be tired in your presence of worshiping you, of experiencing your life and your love. So I put this last list, the summation list of everything that we just prayed through this time up there for you, for your consideration, but you know these things. But now having done it, sometimes people come to me and say, I have a hard time praying. I'm not sure how to open up to the Lord to do that. But I want you to realize you all just prayed for over 50 minutes. Was it that difficult? It wasn't. See, Jesus taught us how to pray. There's so many things. When we quiet ourselves down and take the time, there's actually a lot to discuss with God, isn't there? How many could have prayed longer in some of the sections? Yeah. And how many feel like you have a better understanding of how to approach God in prayer for having gone through this workshop? Wonderful. Praise God for that. Let's worship him.
Amen. Thanks, David. I've personally never been in a prayer workshop before. Anybody else's first time? I have it on good authority that only three people raised their hands the first time around when he said who has, so everybody should raise their hand except for three people, but I'm not counting. I'm not good with numbers. Amen. You guys ready to praise God with one more song? Amen.